opposite as the same fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the messengers do, for it is hinder the faith to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Thanks very much for the nice welcome here into EFCA, and I am privileged to share God's word with you this morning. When I was growing up, the first thing that in the morning my mom would say or do is wake up and come and eat. Come and eat. As we left for church, for school, on the mornings, we'll leave for school, for school, and she would say, make sure you eat all your lunch, right? So that was like our mission, to go to school and finish the lunch that mom has prepared. After we go to school, we would walk home, and we'll put our bags in the kitchen, go to the backyard, and sooner or later, mom would say, dinner's ready, come and eat. You get the idea. Our life revolves around eating to some degree. Our life revolves around what to eat next. As you are listening to this sermon, you might be thinking, what am I going to be having for lunch? Because there's no lunch today at church, right? Or something like that. When you book a holiday, don't you look for somewhere nice to eat? Looking for the best restaurants. When you have family, friends, grandparents, grandchildren coming to visit you whom you haven't seen for a long time, don't you think about what you would like to cook for them, where you want to hang out for lunch or dinner? Have you heard about this? No matter how urgent the meeting, no matter how urgent the agenda, the first thing is to have a meal and talk and get to know each other. You know, in a similar way, the Greco-Roman world, which our text comes from, life was full of feasting, banquets, and all sorts of entertainment. Just around the corner, there would be parties, there would be places to go, to celebrate. And life was a life of celebration in the biblical times. But in the midst of this, in the midst of all this feasting and eating, there is a bunch of people called the Jews, and especially the leaders of the Jews, Pharisees, the scribes, and Sadducees, teachers of the law. These people would regularly fast and abstain from eating food. Such a big contrast that you have in the Greco-Roman world and the leaders of the Jewish community regularly fasting, because it was one of the three things that a righteous person would do. The three things that you've already heard about are giving, prayer, and thirdly, today's passage about fasting. These were the three things that a righteous person or a pious person would do. They would give, they would continue to pray, and they would fast. And so we come to today's passage as Jesus is talking about fasting. And as you know, unfortunately, like the other two already mentioned, the Jews and the Pharisees were not fasting for the right reasons. And so we're going to look at what Jesus is trying to teach us about fasting, what true fasting really is. And the first thing that I want to point you towards is Jesus' teaching on fasting. And he says, when you fast. He doesn't build an argument for fasting. He doesn't necessarily defend fasting. He doesn't necessarily introduce it to it as a new concept, but he actually says when you fast. So it's actually a matter of when, not why or not if, but a matter of when. And it's the same structure, isn't it? Jesus with the other two. Jesus says, when you give, and Jesus says, when you pray. Pray like this. When you give, do not give by sounding trumpets like the hypocrites do. Do not pray like people, like the Pharisees. But, and when you fast, right? So the whole structure is similar. When
when you fast. So fasting is part of a life of a believer, and it is a natural way of life for us
who follow Jesus, who are his disciples. In the biblical times, how did people fast? Well, the pagan, the non-believing people, fasted out of fear of demons. So they would fast and they would commit to not eating to avoid anything nasty, to avoid anything dangerous, and actually to be protected from certain things. That's what the non-pagan people did. In Israel, in the Bible, people fasted when they were able, when they were preparing to talk with God. They fasted when there was an imminent danger of attack in war. When their loved one was sick, when they were seeking God's forgiveness, seeking God's protection, dealing with a transition and setting up a leader, serving the Lord, beginning a new work, appointing leaders, right? All of these are reasons that people fasted in the Bible. So fasting is actually a part of our life. And Jesus is a matter of when, and is not arguing for this fasting per se. The second thing is, Jesus says, do not put on a gloomy face in order to be noticed by people as you pray. The Jewish leaders, they would fast on Mondays and Thursdays. They would fast twice a week. And why did they choose Monday and Thursday? Because back in the time, it was market day. And so the crowd would gather on the market, which means there's going to be a lot of people in the market doing their shopping, getting things ready for feasts. And they would be there, and they would make sure that they're faithfully there, always there on Mondays and Thursdays. And they would go as publicly as possible every time to show that they are fasting. But Jesus says, do not look sad. Do not look somber. Do not look downcast or gloomy. That's the temptation, isn't it? There's nothing more gratifying to the heart than to show off our religious accomplishment. There's nothing more satisfying to say that I'm fasting. You know, that's what the Jewish leaders were doing, especially our religious and moral accomplishments. They're all there just to show people what they are doing. It's often insatiable, our appetite for the praise of people. And because of that, thirdly, Jesus says, you have received your reward in full. It reminds us of the Pharisee who prays with confidence in Luke 18, doesn't it? Where it says the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector, because why? I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. Right? They are fasting because they are wanting to show people what they are doing. But what does Jesus say? But when you fast, fourthly, put oil on your head and wash your face. Here, Jesus isn't introducing anything new. It is not a new concept. It is not a new way of fast. No, it's not. It's actually saying, go about your day as if it was a normal day. The washing of the face is something that we do and that they would do. The first thing in the morning, they wash their face. The putting oil on the head was to show that you're going to a special event. It was used to look and feel one's best, best dressed, right? And so that was the custom back in that day. Basically, Jesus is saying, go about your day as if it was every other day and make sure that you are putting all your effort into showing that you're not fasting per se, but that you are looking your best on your fasting days. And as we look at these verses, as we look at just what Jesus is trying to say, we find that he's actually doing this remarkable thing. He's contrasting between two kinds of piety. He's contrasting between two kinds of righteousness. One is a very Pharisaic one, and the other is a Christian one. the one that the disciples are called to. Pharisaic piety is outward and motivated by the reward of men, whereas Christian piety is what is done in secret and rewarded by God, who sees what is done in secret. And the main thrust, as you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, is the following. Jesus is not concerned with religion per se, but he is concerned about relationship. Jesus is not calling for religion, but Jesus is calling for a relationship with you and me. Jesus is not inviting you to be part of a movement or a religion, but Jesus is inviting you and me to be in a relationship with him. Yes, Christianity is a religion. Yes, it can be seen as a religion, but it does not stay there as any other religion when you come to church. Rather, through religion, through church, you begin to find a new relationship in Jesus Christ. That our lives are turned around by the good news of Jesus. You begin to become familiar with the fact that he died for us on the cross, raising to life, so that we are not without hope in our life. Not only are our sins forgiven and are they hidden with Christ in Christ Jesus, but we're considered righteous. We are called God's adopted children. Christ now lives in us and lives with us through the Holy Spirit. And this new relationship changes everything. It is not about religion, but it is about relationship. Not only does our relationship with God change, but our relationship with each other changes as we meet God. Not longer do we see people as strangers, but they become our extended brothers and family, and brothers and sisters as family. We are one community members of Christ's body in the church. We are here to advance the kingdom of God, to usher in the kingdom of God wherever we scatter into as we conclude our service. We bring glory to God together. And it becomes not about show or showing off. It becomes not about what others think about us, but it becomes all about Jesus. And that is the new relationship that Christ is asking us and inviting us to this morning. Religion says, I am loved because I do. But the gospel and the relationship with God means, I am loved, so I do. It is just a reorientation of two phrases that can give you either relationship or religion. Relationship with God says, I am loved and loved fully, just as I am, and so I do. Relationship with God says, I am accepted, I am cherished, I am valued because of what Christ has done for me and for us on the cross, and therefore we obey, and therefore we do. Whereas religion says, I obey, I do certain things, and so God loves us. And you can get it wrong with just that one reversal of each phrase. Listen to the words from Zechariah. This is what the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. Ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th months for the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? When you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? This is what the Pharisees were doing. This is the whole reason. The whole reason for their fasting was for the praise of others. It was ultimately for the satisfaction of themselves. It was a religious duty. They were fasting religiously rather than fasting in relationship. And that is what Jesus is calling out the Pharisees for and inviting us into a new relationship with Christ. We may go to church because it's the Christian thing to do. We might be here for religious reasons, but brothers and sisters, I encourage you to go beyond religion and be found in a loving relationship with God. May the love of God drive everything we do. May the greatest joy of our lives be for be Jesus Christ. May the greatest reward be seeing more of Jesus. May our greatest treasure be God in our lives. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I came across an interesting thing, a movement in America, where Christian athletes, sports men and women are thinking about how they can show Christ in all that they do. And I came across this idea called an audience of one. And in short, it's A-O-1. If you want to know, you can just Google it and you can find more about what they do. Whether it's basketball, American football, ice hockey, or soccer, you know, whatever sport or track athletics, whatever part of the sports spectrum they're part of, this is what they are trying to do. When the lights go on and all eyes are on fixated on us, our eyes are fixed on Him, Jesus, the Creator of the universe. It's not just a slogan, it's a lifestyle. Living for Him, playing for Him, and giving Him all the glory, win, lose, or draw. I play for an audience of one. It doesn't mean playing for God as though we're performing for Him or trying to earn His love or favor, but it does mean, and you can read this in the slide, it does mean you have the opportunity to play with the genuine freedom that comes from finding your identity not primarily in being an athlete, but in being a child of God, adopted into the family of the one you know is always watching. His love toward you depends on who He is, not on your performance. Therefore, this identity never changes for you, no matter how you're portrayed in another's imaginations. What an amazing quote that is. Religion doesn't give you this kind of freedom. Religion doesn't teach you to be who you are. But it's only knowing that you have a right, loving Father who wants a true relationship with you that can bring this kind of freedom as you do the things that you love. Not only is this true for athletes, but it's true for every one of us. Wherever we go, whatever work we do, even raising children, even little tasks as those things. Relationship gives us that freedom. So friends, no matter what we do, may it be for an audience of one, to please the one person above all, Jesus Christ. And in relationship, that becomes our desire. That becomes our greatest desire. Whether we are singing or raising children at our homes, whether we are at work or at school, wherever we go, may we live our lives before an audience of one, and that is Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, what is fasting according to Jesus? Firstly, fasting, in conclusion, fasting is in relationship with God. It's about one passion driving out another passion, where we say, I need you, I want God, I want more of God, I want to have a bigger hunger for God, I want a bigger advancement of God's kingdom that drives out all hunger for this world, and food included. And secondly, fasting is also a means of loving others. And you can read Isaiah 58, which shares, which I don't have time to go into at this time. But there is an ache in the heart of the people of God that God wants us to have. A burden God brings that sometimes we can't hold on to. We can't carry without going to prayer and fasting about it. You know, when I was in high school, I remember praying for my friend. He went to somewhere where he should not be, and I felt that it was not going to be right for him. I can't get into all the details, but I was constantly praying, God, can you not let my friend go there? But even if he goes there, can you protect him? Right? And that burden for my friend led me
to fast and pray. Sometimes God gave me a burden for a nation, Haiti, when there was a big earthquake. When I heard about the casualties and heard about all these things, God drove me to prayer and fasting for a nation. I prayed for the children in our children's ministry. God prompts me in those things and for the church. And I just wanted to ask you that when God does prompt you and press these heavy burdens on your heart, it is a call to a time of fasting and prayer as we do as followers of Christ Jesus. So I want to end with a quote from Richard Foster, an amazing writer on the spiritual disciplines. He says, "Adoration is spontaneous, is the spontaneous yearning of the heart to worship, honor, and magnify and bless God. We ask nothing but to cherish Him. We seek nothing but His exaltation. We focus on nothing but His goodness." And you know what? Religion doesn't give you this kind of confession, but a relationship with Jesus allows us to confess, yes, may we do nothing but to cherish Him. May we seek nothing but seek His exaltation. May we focus on nothing but focus on His goodness and His greatness. And that's that relationship. The fasting that Jesus calls us to is an image of in relationship with God, loving God and loving other people as we fast. And so let's pray with that. God, You are glorious. You are beautiful. You are magnificent. You are good and perfect. We pray that the love of God would drive everything we do. May the greatest joy and reward of our lives be Jesus Christ. May You become the greatest treasure of our lives, especially as we incorporate fasting in our lives, especially as we obediently bow our knees and fast as You prompt us. Let it be done in relationship with You, knowing how great You really are. We thank You so much, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.